If you would, turn in your Bibles or listen to Luke 14, verses 7 through 11, which will be our sermon text for today. And why don't we all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Our sermon text will be from Luke 14, verses 7 through 11. Let us now turn our attention once again to the reading of God's Word. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Please bow with me. Father, may your Spirit give us eyes to see and ears to hear the words of your Son in this passage. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. What happens when you invite the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to a dinner? Well, you can be certain that if you invite the Son of God to dinner, it will be no ordinary dinner. In this passage, we find Jesus dining with Pharisees, with lawyers, with men of distinguishment and honor, and it is certainly no ordinary dinner. In this passage, Jesus takes the opportunity to give his audience a parable that both chastises them and highlights the nature of God's kingdom. You see, we're in a part of Luke where Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. In Luke 9:51, we read, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." And so in this long journey as Jesus moves towards the cross, he is along the way revealing to us passage after passage, the nature of God's mission that he had given to Jesus. And he's revealing also the nature of God's kingdom and highlighting how different it is from the kingdoms of this world. With that in mind, let us then hear the words of our Lord in this parable by first seeing in verses 7 through 9 how self-exaltation leads to shame. Self-exaltation leads to shame in verses 7 through 9. Here's the scene. Jesus has been invited to the house of a ruler of the Pharisees to dine with him and other Pharisees and lawyers and probably other religious leaders. And what Jesus sees is that all of these men of honor are all vying for the best seats at this dinner. We don't know exactly where those seats would have been, but clearly at this time, in this context, there was some sort of hierarchy of seats where people of higher status would sit in a certain area and the lower status people would sit in a different area. What these men sought was to be honored by those around them. These were Jewish leaders, but each of them had different status, and they wanted to make sure that everyone would acknowledge them. They wanted the best possible seat to receive honor, both visible and acknowledged. Jesus sees this, and he uses it as an opportunity to tell a parable. And this parable applies not only to these Jewish leaders, but this is something that we see many people in the Gospels struggling with. The disciples were one of those groups of people. In Luke 9:46, we read, "An argument arose among the disciples as to which of them was the greatest. So the disciples of Christ, these were the ones who were with Jesus, hearing his teaching, hearing how Jesus was explaining his kingdom to come. And even his disciples had this view of status and of honor, wanting people to acknowledge how great they were. And before we go and ridicule the Pharisees, ridicule the disciples, think for a moment about how easy it is for us to seek to exalt ourselves as well. Do you glory in the title that you have at work? Taking the opportunity to let other people know your status in your job, or just secretly in your heart feeling a sense of superiority because of where you are placed there. Or maybe you feel proud about your financial status, your security. Never to say this out loud, but thinking, well, those other people don't quite have it right, and that's why they're in the financial situation they're in. Or maybe you feel like you want your good deeds to be honored by those around you, to be acknowledged by those around you, to be honored for all the good things that you've done. You've sacrificed so much for others. Or children, do you ever look down at other people at school because of they're not doing as well at school as you are? Or maybe in sports, you are one of the top athletes, or at least better than other people, and you take pride in knowing that. Or we who have had so much good, rich teaching, who have learned so much of scripture, of theology, how easy is it for us to look at other Christians of maybe a different tradition and to feel superior, to feel a certain sense of status and honor? If we're being honest, this is not just a problem that the Pharisees are struggling with, or the disciples. The desire to exalt ourselves above others is something that lies in all of our hearts. Jesus knows this, and he tells them this parable. Reading again here in verse 7 through 9, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, 'When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, "Give your place to this person." And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place." The parable that Jesus gives is in the context of a wedding. And he's calling these men of honor to not sit in the best possible seats, but to seek the lowest seats. If they seek that best possible seat, someone who has better honor than them, who's more distinguished than them, might come, and they have to go and take the only seats that remain at the wedding feast, the worst ones, the lowliest seats. We can imagine something similar if we thought of a wedding ceremony, maybe, where someone goes and sits at the very front, thinking that, well, that's been reserved for them. And guests later come those seats have been reserved for, and those people who have sat at the front have to stand up as all of those eyes are watching them walk down that aisle to the only seats that remain, maybe a couple of folding chairs in the very back of the sanctuary. You can feel the embarrassment. You can hear the thoughts of the people as they watch them. How could they think that they were allowed to sit in those front seats? How could they presume that that was their honor? That's what Jesus is drawing from here in this passage. That shame, that embarrassment that comes from presuming that you are more worthy than you actually are. Now, is Jesus just presenting here some wise advice about where to sit if you are invited to a dinner or to a wedding? Is that all that Jesus is concerned with, or does he have a different focus? If we look at a passage just before this, we get a clue into what Jesus is really talking about here. In chapter 13, verses 22 through 30, Jesus speaks of entering by the narrow door, calling his audience to seek to enter the kingdom of God by that narrow door, And yet many will come to that door seeking to enter and find that their Lord does not know them, and they will be cast out. At the very end of that passage in verse 30, Jesus says, "And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." That saying echoes down then into our passage where we hear something similar at the end here in verse 11. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So then what is Jesus talking about in this passage? He's giving to us a picture of the kingdom of God. He is preaching against those who think they can enter the kingdom of God by their own worthiness. Now we have to understand what Jesus is not saying here. He's not saying that there's something inherently wrong with receiving honors or titles or certain privileges in this life. It's not inherently wrong to pursue excellence at school or at work or to be ambitious. Those things can be good things. And brothers and sisters, if God has given to you a title or an honor or a position of status, rejoice. Rejoice that God has blessed you with that. But don't rest your hopes on that. What is Jesus saying with this parable? He is explaining the folly of presuming that before God, any of those things gives you some sort of inherent worth before him, before God. You see, before God, we have no worth, no honor, no glory. Before God, we have nothing to offer to him, nothing to merit of our own. Before God, apart from Christ, all we have is our sin and our iniquity. Friend, if you put your hope in earthly titles, in wealth, in status, in your list of charitable deeds, you will be found impoverished before God. If your hope is in this life only, you will find nothing but shame and condemnation in the next. Jesus here is preaching against a kind of pride, a kind of self-exaltation that seeks one's own glory. To, above all else, seek the praise of men, to seek that highest seat for yourself, for your own glory, to think that God would take more pleasure in you because of your status in this life. Friend, that is not the path to honor. That is only the path to shame. The reality of this shame is something that we see on full display in the book of Esther. If you remember that book, it's a story of how God's people, while they were exiled in Persia, were saved through a woman named Esther. Esther was a Jew and chosen to be the queen of the king of Persia. At that time, the second in command to the king was a man named Haman. And Haman was a man puffed up in pride, puffed up in status, and in his honor. Esther 5:11 reads, "And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above all the officials and the servants of the king." Here was Haman, all of this honor, all of these sons, all this riches and wealth. But what did it ultimately earn him in the end? Haman was a man who hated the Jews and came up with a plan to destroy them. And when Esther revealed that plan to the king sent Haman to be brutally executed. All of that honor, all of that wealth was nothing in the sight of God. Before God, all of Haman's titles meant nothing. God lowered Haman, who had been so exalted in his life, and he lifted up his people who had been so lowly in their time in Persia. Friends, God takes no notice of any outward glory that we have in this life, no notice of our honors and our titles. Friends, self-exaltation will do nothing but lead to shame. If not in this life, then surely in the next. There is no honor in seeking the first seat. Where then is there honor before God? Our honor is found in Jesus Christ alone. To rest on his worth, his glory, his righteousness alone. Let's then look here at verses 10 through 11 as we see how humility leads to honor. Humility leads to honor. Jesus continues his parable in verse 10 by saying, "But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus here calls these men with so much honor, with such a high status in the nation of Israel, to not seek the highest seat at that wedding feast, but to seek the lowest seat. And you can hear the absolute shock from these men. Seek the lowest seat at a wedding feast? Really, Jesus? I'm a ruler of the Pharisees. I'm a scribe. I am a religious leader. And you want me to seek the lowest seat at a wedding? I deserve one of the best seats at a wedding. How dare you suggest such a thing? But that's what Jesus is calling them to seek that lowest seat and there enjoy the privilege of being exalted by the host in the sight of everyone else as they are led to a better seat. Jesus is telling these men who put so much comfort and hope in their own status to put it aside and to seek humility. And Jesus here again is revealing the nature, not just of a wedding feast, but of God's kingdom. Friends, this is the paradoxical nature of the kingdom of God, the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God, that not the people who are exalted and high are the ones whom God treats with honor. It is the ones who humble themselves before him, who recognize their lowly estate, who recognize that they have nothing before God, whom God chooses to exalt. And we recognize that when we look around us, this is not often what we see in this life, in the kingdoms around us. What do we see often to be the case in the kingdoms around us? Who often are the people of status and power in this life? Well, the reality is it's rarely those who pursue a life of humility. Oftentimes in this fallen world, men who seek status by exalting themselves above others, by seeking their own fame and glory, by making sure that everyone around them acknowledges them and their good deeds, those are often the ones who are exalted in this life. Not so in God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, that is not the kingdom of God. Our worth is not found in the glory of this age. Our only hope is to come before the Lord with empty hands, to recognize our poverty, our unworthiness before the Lord, to recognize, like the tax collector who beat his breast and cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," that we deserve nothing from God but condemnation, that we deserve no high seat in the kingdom of God, and to know that all of our honor is found in Jesus Christ. For that is our glory, that though we humble ourselves before the Lord, though we seek humility, though we seek that lowest seat, look at what God has done. how he has so blessed you, how he has given you so many riches in his Son, Jesus Christ. We live in this life in gratitude to him, recognizing that everything that we have is a gift of God. Brothers and sisters, we have no grounds to boast in ourselves, no grounds to put down others that we might exalt ourselves. We seek not our own interests, but the interests of others. To love and to serve our brothers and sisters, knowing that we have been blessed beyond measure in God. That all of our honor, all of our glory is found in Jesus Christ, to be seated with him. We do all of this as we look to Christ, who more than anyone else humbled himself. In Philippians 2, we hear of that humiliation of Christ. Hear the humiliation of Christ in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ saw all of his splendor, all of his glory that he had in the presence of God, and yet he chose a life of humility by taking our form, by seeking humility, by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a despicable cross, to endure the greatest shame, to be nailed there upon that tree, and to bear the wrath of God for you. The punishment that you deserve, Christ bore in his greatest hour of humiliation. He experienced that for you so that you might have life. But Christ did not stay dead. He was buried but did not stay in the grave, for he rose again and God exalted his Son. Hear how Philippians continues. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He who experienced the greatest shame, shame beyond what we can imagine, is exalted above all others, exalted in the heaven, given the name that is above every name. This is our King. This is the one who humbled himself for us and is seated in the heavens, exalted above all others. And for you who rest in Christ, you are exalted in him. Ephesians 2 tells us God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Though we are humble and lowly, God has taken pleasure to exalt us in Christ and seat us even now in the heavens, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our exaltation, not status in this world, not seats of honor in this life, but to sit in heaven above with our Savior. And this is already, but not yet, for there is a coming exaltation that awaits us in Christ. What is it that God will show to us in the coming ages? Well, Jesus here explains a parable of a marriage feast. And brothers and sisters, there is a marriage feast to come. There is the marriage supper of the Lamb. In that wedding feast, we will no longer be seated in the lowest seats, but our Lord will take us by the hand and lead us not just to a good seat, but lead us to recline at the table of honor right beside him, as we are the very bride of Christ. On that day, the angels will marvel that we who are lowly should be given this great honor and will cry out with shouts of joy, as we hear in Revelation 19, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." That, friends, is the feast we long for. That is the exaltation we long for. We humble ourselves before the Lord, recognizing that we have no inherent worthiness. And in Christ, God exalts us to be in the presence of our Lord for all eternity. Friends, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Our honor, our glory, our exaltation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray.